52 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli military says Hamas has begun releasing more hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. One American is expected to be among the hostages released today. Israeli government spokesman Ilan Levy.
We want to get all of the hostages home. We're committed to that pledge. There will be no one left behind. We're going to bring back the men and the women, the young and the old, the civilians and the soldiers.
A U.S. military Osprey crashed off the coast of southern Japan. Military consultant Jeff McCausland.
At least the near future, meaning several years, the Marines are pretty well stuck with the Osprey and have got to figure out how they make it a safer, more reliable aircraft.
Eight were on board. One body has been recovered. On Capitol Hill, there's a vote in the House this week on whether to expel Congressman George Santos.
We've not whipped the vote and we wouldn't. I trust that people will make that decision thoughtfully and in good faith.
That's Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Faculty and students say they're not surprised by private suggestions by the head of the Universities of Wisconsin that lower-income campuses around the state shift from liberal arts to career-specific programs. That's according to emails obtained by the Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison. On September 1st, Jay Rothman told chancellors it would be part of a long-term path to stabilize the UW system's finances. Quick Trip is recalling some fruit that may be contaminated with salmonella. The Wisconsin company and the Food and Drug Administration say the recall is for three pre-cut fruit cup and tray products. Those products use true fresh cantaloupe, which have the potential for salmonella contamination. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Rice Lake Fire Department was on the scene of a barn fire on Wednesday morning. According to a Facebook post from the City of Rice Lake Fire Department, a passerby saw the barn in the town of Oak Grove completely engulfed in flames and called it in. Fire officials further advised residents that due to the cold temperature, ice was forming on the roads on 23rd Street near the location of the fire. The Rice Lake Fire Department was also assisted by the Bear Lake Haugen Fire Department. The Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services has a new tool to speed up the process of licensing nurses, physical therapists, and others in the healthcare field, allowing much-needed support into the workforce faster. The agency tested a new platform for licensing applications with nursing schools across the state this year, and the results showed more than half of nursing graduates last May had their license issued before the end of June. The previous average time was about 3 months. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Heat went at it back and forth in the final minute. Milwaukee pulled away with the win, 131-124. Chris Middleton got hot down the stretch and talked about the team headed to the NBA's in-season tournament in Las Vegas.
It was good. Completed the task of, you know, getting to Vegas. Now we got to do a little bit more. You know, we're hungry for it. We won it. It's exciting times for us to go to Vegas for the first, you know, in-season tournament. So we're happy about that.
College football, after 3 years, Braylon Allen has played his last regular season game for the Badgers. Allen announcing he's decided to become eligible for the NFL draft. He's from Fond du Lac and converted from linebacker to running back, and was asked about his 2-touchdown performance last weekend against Minnesota.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well. Definitely could have done more, do my job well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's going to be warmer today, partly cloudy, up to 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 23. Tomorrow, sunshine, high of 36. Then on Friday, mostly sunny and a bit cooler with a high right around 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap, UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media, the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And now I am going to discuss one of the more unwelcome types that I can imagine, Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. I don't think I've ever seen less character in a human face than Tommy Tuberville. Maybe Paul Gosar, but that would be about it. This is the bottom of the barrel. Well, what do you think he just said? What do you think Tommy Tuberville just said, believe it or not? In an interview just now, he said, quote, "The U.S. has the weakest military in my lifetime." And then he blamed Joe Biden. This is the chicken hawk. Tuberville never served in our military. He tried to pump up his dad as if he had great service, and he lied and misrepresented about his dad's service as well. He has put on a hold on the unanimous consent rule on promotions of officers in our military who are in the middle of two wars, Ukraine and between Israel and Gaza, and constant attacks on our military by Iran, and our commanding officers aren't in place because of Tommy Tuberville, but also because of the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell was about to agree with Schumer and give him 9 votes. You know, we have 51, they have 49, 9 votes to get to 60 to lift this thing and just confirm 300 or 400 officer promotions that have been lingering for almost a year. Rick Scott, Florida, Josh Hawley of Missouri, Mike Lee of Utah, and J.D. Vance of Ohio, all lobbied McConnell not to stop Tuberville, not to go along with the promotions. And Ron Johnson supported them. So McConnell had to decide, if I give him 9 votes, am I going to survive as minority? That's basically what it was. My own view is that McConnell had more character. He would have done what the United States needed, which was to promote our officers. And I do not believe that Rick Scott, Josh Hawley, Mike Lee, and J.D. Vance are the bottom of the barrel. You're scraping the barrel pretty deep to pick up that kind of bottom feeders. But let me trace the reasons that Tuberville did it. And I'll tell you what I think the real reason is. I'll tell you that right up front. In Ulysses Grant's first term as president, he was elected in 1868, and he served two terms till 1876. But his first term, some of the Confederate leaders publicly said, quote, "We were wrong, we were crazy," whatever word they used, "to take up arms against the Union. They were too powerful. We should have just stayed in Congress and defeated it from within," end quote. And that is what Tuberville is doing. He's a Confederate white supremacist. Comes right out and says it. Says I'm a white supremacist. Says Americans are, Trump supporters are. Here is the path that he started down in explanations on why he was doing it. He's doing it, I think, just to hurt Biden, to get himself some publicity, because I genuinely think he hates the United States. I genuinely think that. First, he said he wanted the army, the military, to reverse the program where if you have a female service member stationed in a state, say like Oklahoma or Alabama, where abortions are totally illegal, even if your health is at stake, by helping them travel to a state where they can get the care they need. That's what he said he was holding up the promotions for. Then he said it wasn't that, it was that the Pentagon wouldn't discuss it with him. Lloyd Austin pointed out, I've discussed it with him plenty. He can call me anytime and I'll take his call. Then his explanation was, okay, but the military is too woke. Too woke. And he attacked individual officers by name, individual senior officers who were up for promotion for things that they had said that he felt were woke. And one of them blew me away. One of them, in some kind of an article, had praised Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Well, that's his business. She's not partisan. She's a judge. And he said, I look up to her, admire Ruth Bader Ginsburg. For that, he ain't getting promoted. This isn't Russia. This isn't China. This isn't Iran or Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia. This is America, Jack. This is not the Confederacy, Jack. Then he said, well, we're not a communist country. There are just too many officers. Officers are bureaucrats. That is false. That is false. We have an officer to enlisted ratio in our military that's very lean, very necessary. Ship I was on, we had one captain. You need a captain of a ship. You can't run a ship by committee. Captain has to make decisions in tough circumstances. We had six officers and 99 enlisted men. They were absolutely necessary. One officer was in charge of the deckhands, another one navigation, another one engineering, another one was the executive officer. This isn't woke. This is absolutely necessary. How does he know? He didn't serve. And he lied about his father. Listen, during the Civil War, there were guys like him who avoided being drafted even in the Confederate Army because they're afraid. They're afraid. Big football guy, he said. Big football guy. He's not a big football guy. He coached. That's not the same as serving in the service. Right now, and this just changed very recently, though, at one time there were three branches of our service that didn't have a commanding officer. Did not have a commanding officer. The Air Force, the Marines, and the Navy, because of Tommy Tuberville. And he won't even permit individual votes because all he has to do is object, and then you have to have 3 weeks of debate and you don't have time to do it. The Defense Department, Lloyd Austin, has said that he has single-handedly eroded our military advantage. Give you an example. There are 9 senior military positions that would be responsible for the Middle East, but he's not permitting them to be promoted to that. 9 of them. The Middle East, Israel, Gaza, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Yemen. Our sailors are under attack on our destroyers in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. The Taliban. And yet Rick Scott, Josh Hawley, Mike Lee, J.D. Vance, Ron Johnson, privately tell McConnell they won't support him if he tries to shut down Tuberville. And you know, when I say that this is the fault of one man, it's not the fault of one man. He is a despicable person. I do not want to see his carcass on the streets of Milwaukee this coming June. But the Republican Party is to blame. They won't even provide 9 votes or agree to suspend the rule to promote our own military against the Russians, against jihad, against Iran, against our enemies, against China, which is taking over the South China Sea. And I fault the Democrats. I fault the Democrats. The Democrats have 51 votes. 51 votes, this is not generally known, can overturn any rule. And even if the Senate parliamentarian objects, it's only advisory. They can replace the Senate parliamentarian or tell her to go, you know, go back to your desk and just sit there quiet. It may be that Manchin and Sinema won't go along with it. I do not know. It is true that Schumer is standing tall and is going to put it to a vote to embarrass Republicans, even if they don't go along. But there has been no uproar by Democrats. Not too long ago, there was plenty of uproar by Democrats. They threw Al Franken out of the Senate. They're not doing anything wrong, but for being, in their view, crude, and they are holier than thou, they managed to gang up on him. He was one of our best senators. I wish we had him right now. I really do. So why don't they gang up on Tuberville? They have a lot more to go on. He says he's a white supremacist. He says he's a white supremacist. He says a white supremacist is just an American. Maybe one of them could get up on his hind legs and say, I'm an American, I'm not a white supremacist. The Republicans won't do it. Afraid of Trump. Trump supports Tuberville, by the way. They could say, we're going to get rid of unanimous consent. We're going to get rid of the filibuster for promotions, even just for promotions. I'd like to see it thrown out for the Voting Rights Act, a couple of other things too. It's been thrown out, by the way, for budgetary votes. But how about military promotions? You can't get much more in the national interest than that. Nobody in the Senate is doing that. Why aren't they doing it? They're not doing it because unanimous consent is a badge of their prestige. They care more about their prestige and more about being the most exclusive club in the world than our military. This is largely the Republicans, but also I fault the Democrats for not getting rid of unanimous consent. Schumer may be an exception. He's finally going to press it. Finally going to press it. Coming up, Fannie Willis is magnificent. And here is her novel approach on plea bargains in Atlanta.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The more I hear about what Fannie Willis is doing, the more I like her and respect her. She and Letitia James, Tanya Chutkan, Jack Smith, they're the conscience of our country right now. Fannie Willis has let it be known through her prosecutors that she is open to a plea bargain for all but three of the remaining defendants. They'd have to plead to a crime, just like Ches Bro did and some of the others did, have to plead to a crime, Sidney Powell, and agree to testify truthfully. But she carved out three defendants in which she said there will be no quarter given. They will not get a plea bargain. And those three defendants in Atlanta are Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and Mark Meadows. And I stand with her 100% on that one. Here's how plea bargains work. And, you know, she indicted, what, 19 people? I mean, she went after fake electors. She went after people who had shut down Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. Remember the mother-daughter who had to go into hiding with death threats when Trump and Giuliani and the rest of them lied about them? She did magnificent work, but the great white whale, Moby Dick. Everybody read Moby Dick in high school. Nobody remembers Moby Dick. I got to say, when I first started reading Moby Dick, I was wondering why anybody read it. It wasn't the most exciting thing in the world. Bunch of guys are going after a whale. How are they going to catch him in an ocean and all this? I don't want to get into that, but in any event. But this obsession, it's about obsession. And this is one where she needs to harpoon the great white whale. That is Trump. But that is also Meadows and Giuliani. Meadows was chief of staff. Giuliani was the mayor of New York. He was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. He ran for president about 10 years ago. And he was number one in the polls for about a week. Suddenly, he submits to Trump, and now he's facing criminal prosecution, as well as having his law license yanked and judgments against him. What? Now, here's how it works. The other, if there were 19 originally, these three, the other 16 that would get plea bargains would be called to testify against Trump. And a lot of them have gone ahead and said, yeah, I did it for Trump. Trump told me to do it. One of the funniest ones is Ches Bro. And this is one, I don't think Ches Bro is going to be getting any kind of plea bargain anytime soon because he won't take it. But he said something absolutely extraordinary. No, it wasn't Ches Bro, it was Eastman. Ches Bro did take one. I don't want to mix them up. Ches Bro's no good either, but John Eastman was the guy who was the architect, intellectual architect, of having Pence not show up, or Pence rejecting the electoral votes, then having it thrown to the states. He's the guy that wrote the memo, John Eastman originally. And he brought a motion in which he took a dig at Trump. He said, we want a speedy trial. Sever me from Trump. You know, and then here's how he put it. He said, the final plea date should be set earlier in the year. Move the schedule up so that defendants, quote, defendants who do not have lifetime U.S. Secret Service protection and who are not running for election to president now can have their right to a jury trial completed in 2024. Now, this is Eastman, who had sucked up the Trump mercilessly, and he takes a dig at him. He says, you know, anybody who isn't running for president doesn't have lifetime Secret Service protection. Let us have our day in court in 2024. We know this other guy is going to tap dance around until he can extend it beyond that. This guy wants to get it over with. That means, I think what's going to happen is Fannie Willis will divide the defendants into two groups, the remaining ones. And one of them will be Trump, Giuliani, and Meadows. The other one could be everybody else, although if Eastman wants a trial and not plea, that's his business. The idea is you'd have a slimmed down trial. And what is Trump going to say if he testifies? He'd be crazy to testify. What is Giuliani going to say? What is Meadows going to say? And what are the other 16 who take a dive, maybe 15 if Eastman doesn't, who take a dive and testify against Trump? If Trump gets on the stand, by the way, he has no credibility. He's not going to snow the jury. And if Giuliani and Meadows are sitting there listening to him say, hey, it was Giuliani and Meadows who misled me, they're not going to like that. This is very, very good prosecuting. It's a very ethical prosecuting. It's offering plea bargains to the sort of the lower range of culpable defendants. But it's keeping your powder dry for the three big ones. For Trump, Meadows, and Giuliani. And incidentally, let's have a little good news. Right now, there's so much in these programs that's bad news that we're trying to grapple with and overcome. I got to give you some good news. There's another poll that just came out. In the last couple of days, and it shows Biden ahead of Trump. And this isn't just any poll. This is a poll that had a history of being taken before. And let me give you the full facts. This is done by Morning Consult. They interviewed 6,527 registered voters. That is a dynamite poll. Biden 43%, Trump 42%, 11% someone else, 5% undecided. The 11% someone else is very rare. That's a very high number when you have two people with name recognition like Trump and Biden. But what's interesting about this one, this was taken between November 24th and November 26th. In other words, it ended 3 days ago. But they did a poll the previous week, Morning Consult did, November 18th to the 20th. And in that one, Biden trailed Trump by 4 points. Morning Consult, which is a reputable pollster, said that looks like Biden made up 4 or 5 points in 1 week. Maybe, but there's another way to look at it. The margin of error, even with 6,527 people, is still a couple of percent. And it may simply be that a week ago, when they did the poll showing Biden losing by four, that's margin of error. It could have been that Trump had 2%, say 2.5% less than he showed, and Biden had 2.5% more. The bottom line to take away, when we go into this year, this is an essential election. It's very close. It's very, very close. And why is it close? Biden is doing a terrific job, but he is in the pilot seat. He's in the hot seat. And Trump is off on the sidelines taking pot shots with no responsibility. But he has name recognition the same as Trump because he was president. That's why it's so close, but it's going to diverge even more as we go forward. Okay, coming up, we have news, we have weather, and we have Believe it or not, Pence came close to skipping his appearance on January 6th.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin may be one step closer to getting mental health care from out-of-state professionals. A bill in the legislature would expand COVID-era emergency rules that let doctors and therapists in places like Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan treat people in Wisconsin remotely. Supporters of the idea say it would help more people. The bill got a hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. Pope Francis is punishing a former Wisconsin bishop who's become one of his highest-ranking critics. Sources say Francis is revoking Cardinal Raymond Burke's right to a paid Vatican apartment and salary. Francis told Vatican leaders last week that Burke was a source of disunity in the church. Burke was born in Richland Center and once served as the bishop of the La Crosse Catholic Diocese. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Officials with the Chippewa Falls Fire Department are saying nobody was hurt in a fire on Tuesday afternoon. Fire officials were called to the fire on Wheaton Street around 12:45 p.m. on Tuesday and closed County Highway Q between Bridgewater Avenue and County Highway S and asked people to avoid the area. According to a WQOW report, the homeowner said everybody inside the home was uninjured, but her cat died in the fire. Officials estimate the fire caused about $100,000 of damage. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is alerting the community to an ongoing scam. Scammers are allegedly posing as Department of Transportation and Department of Motor Vehicles representatives, asking their potential victims to click a fraudulent link to claim a refund that doesn't exist. The Department of Transportation is reminding Wisconsin residents that they should not respond to or click on unsolicited messages from unknown people and verify the legitimacy of the messages. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Heat went at it back and forth in the final minute. Milwaukee pulled away with the win, 131-124. Chris Middleton got hot down the stretch and talked about the team headed to the NBA's in-season tournament in Las Vegas.
It was good. Completed the task of, you know, getting to Vegas. Now we got to do a little bit more. You know, we're hungry for it. We won it. It's exciting times for us to go to Vegas for the first, you know, in-season tournament. So we're happy about that.
College football, after 3 years, Braylon Allen has played his last regular season game for the Badgers. Allen announcing he's decided to become eligible for the NFL draft. He's from Fond du Lac and converted from linebacker to running back and was asked about his 2-touchdown performance last weekend against Minnesota.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well. Definitely could have done more, do my job well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny for tomorrow and a high in the upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and mid-30s for Friday. Mostly cloudy Saturday, high mid-30s. Maybe a few flurries Saturday night. Cloudy and maybe some rain and snow shower Sunday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Max Matson, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's an article out outlining what Mike Pence, said to Jack Smith when he was interviewed by Jack Smith's prosecution team. It's very, very detailed and really, for Trump, very, very lurid. Pence told him repeatedly that he lost the election. Pence told him that other people around him knew that he'd lost the election. Trump said he lost the election right afterwards. But the most shocking thing to me, and it puts in perspective something that I had been puzzled about, is Pence said that he initially considered, and he would have simply not shown up on January 6th to ceremonially take the votes. And therefore, because the Constitution says the vice president will accept them, it's a ministerial thing. It's nothing to do with the validity of them, but then the right wing and the conceivably the Supreme Court would say, well, he didn't show up, so therefore it's in the House of Representatives and Trump wins. He said that the thing that convinced him to show up was his son, who's a Marine, the Marine Corps. And we talked about it with his son. His son said, Dad, we both took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. You got to show up. This is his Marine son. Thank God. That's how close it came. But the thing that puts in perspective for me, and something that had always been, thought was sort of weird, it turns out the Secret Service was very pro-Trump, and some of them were in on it. Some of them had resigned right after Trump. They realized he wasn't going to get reinstated. They gave up real good jobs in the Secret Service. They resigned. But do you recall that one of them said to Pence, get in the limousine. It's not safe in there because of the insurrection. We're going to take you to safety. And Pence said, I'm not getting in that limousine. I know where you're going to take me. And what he meant by that is that they'd get in. These guys were in on it. They'd lock the doors from the front, and they would just drive him up to Camp David or somewhere. They drive him to a, quote, secure, end quote, location for his, quote, personal safety, end quote. And then if he said, turn around, I got to be back there, they would not have done it. They were in on it. And he knew they were in on it, and he wouldn't get in the limousine. And he didn't need it for his personal safety. The vice president and the head of the Senate and the Speaker of the House have safe rooms in the Capitol in case the Capitol is under attack or bombed. That's where they took them. Absolutely fascinating and unbelievable that it came down to his son in the Marine Corps saying, Dad, you took the same oath I did. You got to support the Constitution. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for your show, Matt. The whole Trump thing is mind-blowing, to say the least. I want to back up a little bit, and I wanted to thank Joe for calling yesterday, pointing out to me that it's more than just the UW system in Madison. It's about the whole state UW system, which is so, so true. I, for one, went to Madison Area Technical College, which is also a place to get an education. But the point I was trying to make is we have such a beautiful university, And to stay strong as a state, you need qualified people to be vets, engineers, the agricultural part of it, the whole thing. And I can't help it. I just want the GOP to get off the dime and make Wisconsin UW system have the people capable of keeping our state where it is. And engineers are a big part of that because that supplies jobs for me also, somebody that went to trade school. And it's just mind-blowing also to me that they're not building that thing because the donations have funded. So I'll let this go after today. But thanks, Joe, and your other callers that apparently were UW grads that called in and gave their 2 cents on it. So anyway, thanks for your show. I always get a lot of information from you, Matt, and it really helps. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I want to respond to that before we go to the next caller. It's an important call. The UW, the Republicans knifed the engineering school, even though a big part of it was going to be privately funded, to take revenge on the University of Wisconsin. They have downgraded the University of Wisconsin for 13 years, ever since Walker got in and gerrymandered the legislature. They starved it of money. They starved UWM. They are killing the greatest institution in the state, slowly killing it. Now, the head of the system came out just now and said that they may have to get rid of liberal arts programs in some of the campuses that are, you know, struggling financially and all that. This is one of the greatest universities in the world, and the Republican Party is stabbing it in the back. And I said to somebody, a friend of mine who is a professor, I said, the thing that I don't understand is how the business people, the donors, the who know perfectly well how wonderful the University of Wisconsin is, why they go along with it. And we concluded that they do it because if they have Republicans in there, they'll cut their taxes. And they apparently don't give a damn about this state or the University of Wisconsin. Paul, thanks for calling. Todd or Billy, my friend. Todd or Billy of Madison, you're next. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I was just under the impression that Pence was thinking that if he didn't show up, not that it would change the outcome and throw it to the House. I was thinking that his reasoning was just that it would be too hurtful to his, quote, friend, Donald Trump, that he participate even ceremonially in, you know, the peaceful transfer of power. And that he just was going to stay away just so that he didn't hurt Trump's feelings. But I wasn't under the impression that he thought that was actually going to change the outcome, that he realized his role was ceremonial. But I could be wrong there, but I'm curious why you're thinking he thought it would throw it to the House.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'll tell you why I say that. And obviously he'll have to, if he is called to testify before Judge Chutkan, he can say whatever he wants. But he was trying to benefit his friend. He was trying not to hurt his friend's feelings. Okay, how do you benefit your friend? Trump had told him, say that these things are in doubt, and therefore I send it to the House. He chickened out on that one. He chickened out. He was just not going to show up. It's not that he has great moral character. He does not. He does not. He chickened out. And in doing that, think about this, Todd or Billy. Just think for a second. The vice president doesn't show up. The Constitution says he takes the returns. They are not going to agree. They are not going to permit somebody else to just take them, you know, a clerk or something. That day would have come and gone, but it was the prescribed day to do it. Then Trump and the Republicans would say the vice president won't take them. Therefore, the House of Representatives has to, not the Senate, the House of Representatives has to decide who the president is. And then it's quite clear that if that were true, which it's not, each state gets one vote. That means California gets one vote, even though it has 56 congressmen. Wyoming gets one vote, even though it has one congressman. If you count the states, there are 50 of them. More than half of them at the time were Republican-dominated congressional delegations. Then they would announce Trump wins in the House of Representatives, just like Rutherford Hayes did back in 1876. Then it would go to the Supreme Court, and the six tarantulas would decide. That is the Hail Mary that they tried to do. By Trump, by Pence not appearing, he's just chickening out. But if nobody took those returns, nobody took those certified electoral votes, the Constitution says the vice president should. Well, what if he dies? What if he's chicken and runs away? It's ceremonial. They changed the law after that to make that clear. All Trump was doing was trying to present chaos and doubt. That's all he wanted to do. Then he would say, hey, I won in the House of Representatives, so did Rutherford Hayes. So what's your problem? And refuse to leave the White House and tell the Army and the Navy that he was still the commander-in-chief. Now, our service academies are the most honest, best trained and disciplined service academies in the world. They want to obey the Constitution, but what's the Constitution? Here you have a vice president who chickened out, Trump, who's a criminal. But what if the six tarantulas agreed with Trump? What if the tarantulas agreed with Trump? What do you do then if you're the chief of naval operations, the Army chief of staff? Who do you obey? See, the whole idea is to inject doubt and chaos that unscrupulous people can take advantage of. So this is not just a case of he didn't want to hurt his friend's feelings, quote unquote, hurt his friend's feelings. The Constitution mandated that he show up. He knew very well, in my opinion, that when he didn't show up, it would cause doubt. That way he could repay his friend Trump, who had asked him to actually not receive, to show up and not receive the electoral votes. And he could do it in the back door. And remember, Trump said, for instance, to his attorney general, his acting attorney general, just say that there's corruption in Georgia. I'll do the rest. Scott Perry and Jim Jordan will do the rest. What he said to Zelensky was just say you're investigating Biden. You don't have to actually investigate Biden. Just say you're investigating Biden. I'll do the rest. He always wants to do the rest. All he requires is that somebody who appears to be upstanding, appears to have integrity, cause doubt. Then he'll hold on to power. He's appointed enough judges. And is the Supreme Court going to say, get out of there? I don't know. Maybe Roberts would. I know that Thomas would not. I know that Alito would not. And then you're worried about Gorsuch? Give me a break. And speaking of Trump, this time around, what's the guy doing? On the campaign trail, he is saying the January 6th rioters were just protesters exercising their First Amendment, and I will pardon them when I get in. He said that he'll pardon them. Then he cut a tape of a song with some of the guys in jail for January 6th in Washington, D.C., and that's a hot item on the Republican circuit. But in court right now, his lawyers are distancing themselves from the rioters, trashing them, saying, no, we had nothing to do with that. Those are third parties. Just like he says about the death threats, after he attacks the judge and attacks the clerk, they get death threats, they get anti-Semitic calls. He goes, well, you know, that's just third parties. It's not me. He distances himself. He is not only capable of telling the truth, but in the most bald-faced fashion, continuing to lie, but on a big level. And so like in 1930s Germany, it's believed. Pence said, I didn't want to hurt my friend's feelings. Who's your friend? Who's your friend? Donald Trump? You didn't want to hurt his feelings? You threw him a softball, Jack, if you had stayed away, so he could cause chaos and he could cause doubt and they could do the Green Bay sweep. That's what you were doing. You knew you were doing it. So I do not believe for a second any self-serving thing that any of these guys say. Coming up, George Santos is going to be probably expelled, but listen to his version coming up.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5, The Tap. K.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the water.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's some last-minute machinations you should know about on George Santos. This is a guy who's so untruthful that you're not even sure of his name, and I'm not kidding about that. They're not quite certain about whether that's his real name, but in any event. Remember yesterday, one of the Democratic congressmen put in what's called a privilege resolution that has to be voted on in 48 hours. That means the deadline is tomorrow. Well, it turns out here at the last minute now, the Republicans are madly, madly trying to get Santos to resign. That takes the monkey off their back. I have no idea what they are promising him in terms of jobs, in terms of money to defend himself or whatever. But the latest, just before I went on the air, was that Santos said, I will not resign. I'll stand up. And I will let the people see my judges and executioners. The guy's very dramatic. Tomorrow, it has to be voted on. And Mike Johnson, the speaker, just came out and said that they're not going to whip it. They have the party whips. What do you mean by a whip? What do you mean by whip it? In the UK, if the party takes a position, everybody in parliament in that party has to vote that way. And if they don't, they're basically thrown out of the party and the party finds somebody else to take their seat, runs it against them. In the United States, there are whip votes and non-whip votes. Whip votes, there are whips and there are sub-whips, and they're each assigned a certain number of congressmen. They'll call up and say, we're whipping this vote. You got to vote this way. Very, very rare for a congressman to buck that. Very rare. And usually it means that he's going to be ostracized from the party. But there's some non-whip votes where they say, vote your conscience, and we won't hold it against you, whatever you do. And this is a non-whip vote, according to Mike Johnson. It takes two-thirds to expel him, two-thirds. There are 435 members of Congress, so two-thirds of 435 is, what, 290-something. There are only 211 Democrats. It means that it would take about 80 or 85 Republicans to do it. And I don't know if they have the vote because they're caught between a rock and a hard place. The Republicans in New York are dying. They're going, if Santos is there and he now says he won't run again, but what if he does? And they'll jam it right down our throats. We got to show that we're independent by expelling him. But a lot of the others may go, hey, that's your problem. I personally don't know if they're going to get two-thirds. But at least they're not whipping it. If Johnson said, we're whipping it, vote, don't vote, to expel him, then it wouldn't pass. But they're afraid to whip it because it makes the Republican Party look bad, makes them look bad. And so stand by. I mean, stand by for heavy rolls, we used to say on the ship. You know, you get green water over the forecastle, heavy weather. That's what's going to happen in Congress tomorrow. It's going to be very, very interesting. By the way, the last show, some people were talking about Nikki Haley and, well, she wouldn't be as bad as Trump, blah, blah, blah. I think Nikki Haley would be a disaster. I mean, we need Joe Biden back in there, period. And I'll tell you why. There was an article in the New York Times that was trying to be favorable to her. And this is a phrase they use. This blew me away. They go, Nikki Haley has an ability to calibrate her message to the moment. Nikki Haley has the ability to calibrate her message to the moment. Translated in plain English, that means she's willing to say whatever she needs to for her political opportunity right now. Basically, she's a flip-flopper. If you look at what she said in the past about Ukraine, about abortion, Israel, and everything else, what she's saying now about those subjects is much more moderate and pleasing to my ears, Democratic ears. But the question I have, when push comes to shove, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, all hell breaking loose, what is she going to do? I do not trust her because I don't know what she's going to do. There's plenty of ability, smart and all that, but I need somebody I can trust. And it ain't Donald Trump, and it ain't Nikki Haley, and it is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the most experienced president we've ever had in foreign policy and in the Senate, because he's been there since 1972. And speaking of other guys I don't trust, this, the heck of it, let me throw in Ron DeSantis. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ron DeSantis had a guy who worked for him named Peter Antonacci. He was kind of his fixer, his Michael Cohen type of guy. He was 74 years old, and DeSantis put him in charge of this fake committee, the Office of Election Crimes and Security, which basically went around the state prosecuting black people who'd been in prison, served their time, been told by the clerks they could vote, and then when they voted, they get prosecuted. That's what Peter Antonacci was supervising. Recently, he was in a meeting in a conference room outside of DeSantis's office. And apparently he got very angry. He's 74 years old. And he got up and stormed out. Collapsed on the floor outside and died. Flat out croaked. Flat out bought the farm. And he lay there for 24 minutes outside the governor's office. Now, I don't think DeSantis was personally there, but his lawyer was there. A lot of people were there, and they were arguing about this election crimes thing. And, you know, I have this vision. Somebody comes in to DeSantis and goes, Governor, there's a stiff line on the floor outside of your door. DeSantis goes, is it a Democrat or a Republican? I mean, I'm being a little bit unkind here, but how do you have a dead body lying on the floor for 24 minutes outside the governor's office? Does nobody walk by the governor's office? You know, no staffer, nobody. They see a guy lying there. They go, okay, that's par for the course. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Coming up next, a lot of news and weather and another great show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crew. We had a great show today. Great callers, as always. Thank you. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
It'll be passed. The order is rapidly fading. And the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are a-changing.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special.